seeing more clearly. 2020, can you believe it? 1 month into this year, crazy what's already happened and gone on. Would you stand with me this morning as we read God's Word? Ephesians chapter 3, the Word of the Living God, here it comes. We're reading Scripture that people have been reading for 2,000 years, all on their journeys. From a prison in Rome, the Apostle Paul says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by the revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am least than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Father, we thank You this morning, and we praise You, God, for today. We're counting our blessings this morning, Lord. We come in this place, people on a journey trying to meet and know and understand Jesus. Father, as we gather here today, we're mindful of all the heavy things going on in the world. We pray for this virus that's going around. We pray for our brothers and sisters in China that are afraid, I'm sure. Pray, Lord God, that this disease would be contained. The world is afraid. God, we pray that You would use this to draw people to Christ. Lord, we're grieved to find out about Kobe Bryant. We could go Sunday. All those people in that helicopter. God, we pray for the families, the grieving families. God, we pray that You would use this to remind humanity that life is precious, valuable, and fragile. With a heavy heart, we gather here today, and our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Speak into our hearts, we pray. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. How many people in here like mysteries? Like mysteries as a boy growing up. I used to love cartoons on Saturday, and one of my favorites was Scooby-Doo. You guys like Scooby-Doo? Good old Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo is great because there was always a scary beginning with Scooby-Doo, right? And then there was a mystery to be solved. And as they moved along, they would journey in the mystery of trying to figure out what it is. Bonus points. Does anybody in here remember what the van was called in Scooby-Doo? The Mystery Machine. The mystery. How many people in here like mysteries? When I was growing up, I used to love to watch Perry Mason. We'd watch it and we'd go, who did it, right? Or I remember my mom, she loved word puzzles. She loved the mystery of trying to figure out the word puzzles. Life is full of mystery, isn't it? I mean, you see beauty in this world and you see brokenness in this world. You just look out the doors and you see mystery on earth. Do you like mysteries? If you look up the definition of mystery, it says something something which baffles or perplexes, something hidden, hard to see and understand. The book of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle uses the word mystery more times in the book of Ephesians than any other book in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in the third chapter of Ephesians, Paul uses the word mystery four times in the book of Ephesians. Did anyone notice that? Do you know what mystery Paul is talking about in Ephesians 3? He's talking about you. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you. You. The mystery that Paul the Apostle is talking about today in Ephesians chapter 3 is you people. The Apostle Paul is reflecting back on the third chapter, and he's contemplating Gentiles. Now, what I mean you people, I'm not talking about if you're a Messianic Jew in here. He's not talking about you. But he's talking about all you other people. How many people in here is not Jewish? Raise your hand. You're the mystery. You are. That the Messiah, a Jewish Messiah, was for you, was a mystery to a first century Jew. Paul, in a prison in Rome, awaiting trial for you people, Paul was busted in Rome. Paul the Apostle, Paul was a Pharisee, he was a religious scholar who was a person that was on a quest to kill the followers of Jesus, to stomp them out. And on the road to Damascus, he got struck down by Jesus, didn't he? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Christ. Saul, Hebrew name, Paul, the Greek name, he was crushed. And from that moment on, Jesus called him to ministry, to be a ministry to the Gentiles, of a message to non-Jewish people that Jesus is for you too. That the blood of Christ is not just for a Jew, but for all people. And Paul, in a prison in Rome, waiting to stand trial before Nero, gets out a paper and pencil, begins writing an epistle, the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, he begins, it's a beautiful book. Many people call it the Queen of the Epistles. Many people see it as Paul began writing basic Christianity, how to live as a Christian, in Ephesians. And when you read the book of Ephesians, which we've been doing here on a Sunday morning, Paul begins describing identity. Who are you as a child of God? Who are you, you that have said yes to Christ? And you are holy and blameless. You are an adopted child of God. You've been given heavenly riches. Mysteries of the kingdom are yours. And he lists 14 times in Ephesians chapter 1, in Christ, in him, in Christ. Just trying to describe and understand, giving to you people who you are now. Who are you? Identity and purpose is everything. Who are you when you said yes to Jesus? It's Ephesians 1. And as you roll toward the end of Ephesians, Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Paul prays that you would get it, okay? And then he rolls into Ephesians 2 and he says, if this is who you are, let me tell you who you were. You're lost before you met Jesus. Dead in your transgressions and sins. But let me tell you what God's done for you. By his mercy and grace, he sends you Jesus. It's not because you're a good person that God sent Jesus to you. It's because he's a good being. You're not the cool one. He's the cool one. You don't deserve the blood of Christ. Not one drop. What you deserve is way worse. But God in his mercy, in his love, his grace, has given you Christ. And you should marvel in that. And it's cool because in Ephesians, he has you looking inside. Who am I? And how did I get here? And who was I before I met Christ? And then at the end of Ephesians 2, he says, now look around. All the people that you now see, because this is all true about who you are, all the people that you now see in Christ are brothers and sisters. There's no more race. There's no more superiority and inferiority of races or colors or cultures. We're all one in Christ, brother and sister, one people. At the foot of the cross, there's no big I's or little U's. It's equal. We're all the same. Paul begins describing that all you, Jew and Gentile, are being built into a spiritual house. And when Paul's finished saying all this, he begins musing on this or reflecting on this truth. And this is what he says. And by the way, as Paul begins speaking, he speaks from a Jewish perspective, and you need to get that. As Paul writes Ephesians 3, he writes from a Jewish perspective as he's looking at you this morning. A Jew to a non-Jew. For this reason I, Paul, he says, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, right? Why is he in prison? Because of you and the message that God has given him for you, that Jew and Gentile are one. She says, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. The word administration means task or implementing a strategy. And in this case, a heavenly administration, a heavenly strategy. What is God's strategy? That you people would hear about the gospel as well as a Jew. He says, I've been given this administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, now listen, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. He's talking about the house in Ephesians 2, that Jew and Gentile are one. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, but it's now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul begins bringing up kind of his conversion. God revealed this to me. I just want to listen. I want you to hear one thing. Paul, it was struck down and blind in Damascus. And Ananias, God says, I want you to go and pray for Paul because I've got his attention. I beat him down on the road to Damascus. And now he's humbled, 3 days blinded. And this is what Jesus says. This was Jesus' plan for Paul in Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, appointed especially for people like me and you. God sends him to us, and boy did he go, right? Jesus, this Jew went all over the Gentile world telling us Gentiles about Jesus, planting churches, writing letters to the New Testament churches, so much so that he's now a prison in Rome. He's arrested, all because of his ministry to us. He says, I am the Jew who's been given the administration to proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus isn't just for us Jewish people, but for you too. He says, I've been appointed especially to do this. Make sense? I've been appointed to do this. This mystery, now see, you people are a mystery. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. That's the mystery. You people get in too. They couldn't believe it. Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel message by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power, though I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. Listen, the boundless riches of Christ. The boundless riches of Christ. Who are you? I get to preach to you people the boundless riches of Christ. What the blood of Jesus has done on your behalf. and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, stop there, now through the church, pause, the church, take notes with me this morning. You ready? Note number one. The idea of the church was a first century Jewish mystery. Take notes this morning. From a Jewish perspective, the idea of the church was a first century Jewish mystery. And Paul in Ephesians 3 starts reflecting on the mystery. He says, we Jews didn't see that God had this plan for you Gentiles. An assembly, a congregation, one people, one family, Jew and Gentile one. We didn't see it. It's a mystery. As Rabbi Feldman says here on Saturdays, my Jesus is for you people too. Most people think that Jesus is for the Gentiles. Jesus is for the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. We're all one. Paul says they just didn't see this thing coming. The whole church age was not on the prophecy radar. It's like a B-2 stealth bomber. It just flew over and no one saw it on radar. Pretend you're a first century Jew with me this morning. What are you thinking? When you think of Messiah, first century Jew, in Jerusalem, what are you thinking about Messiah? You're thinking Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, right? We just finished Christmas, ready? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What is the Jew in the first century thinking about the Messiah? He'll restore the kingdom of David. It's a theocracy, governmental. Has anyone here ever studied the book of Daniel? Raise your hand. Remember Daniel's wonderful prophet? The Jewish people were exiled to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar starts getting nightmares. And he starts having this dream about this statue being built. And the head was of gold, and then the silver and bronze and iron. And then this meteor would come from heaven and strike the stone and bust it into pieces. And he kept having this nightmare over and over and over again. Finally, Daniel was called in to give a prophet. What is this? And he says, God will reveal to me, O king, what he's trying to tell you. And he began describing, and he said, King, God is showing what's going to happen. That you are the king of bronze, of gold, you're the Babylonian. But after you, another kingdom will arise, the Medes and the Persians. And then after you will be the Greeks, Alexander the Great, and then the Romans, right? And then feet of clay and iron, and then a coming kingdom that will smash the stone. I like this one. Give me the next one. And the stone will set up an everlasting kingdom, right? This is a crash course in Daniel chapter 2. Does anyone see the church? Anyone? Mystery. Mystery. He's like, you people weren't on the radar. Ephesians 3. Mystery. This church age. Didn't see it coming. Didn't see it coming. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, share together in the promise of the Messiah. Jesus comes and dies on the cross. That's also Isaiah 53. There's this mystery of Messiah. How does Messiah die for people and rule and reign for 1,000 years? Mystery, answer, two comings of Messiah. All mystery. Paul says this is all hidden in God. The Greek is mysterion. God hides, and God reveals. I think God likes to give mystery. He likes you to keep looking and trust Him. He's not going to give you everything, people. Life's a mystery. He wants you to focus on Him. Walk with Him. Do you see where Paul's coming from in Ephesians? He calls you people the mystery. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the grace of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery. We didn't see you people coming. God loves you too. Wow. For God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Mystery. We just thought, for God so loved the Jews. For God so loves all people. Right? His intent was now through the church, listen to this, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. To the first century Jew, you're a mystery. How would you guys like a mystery in here this morning? Does anyone want a mystery? Well, here's your mystery. What is God's purpose of the church age that you and I now live in? It's not just to save Jew and Gentiles and make them one in Jesus. What's the purpose of what God's doing here? The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in other dimensions or heavenly realms. Take notes this morning, note number 2. The church age is a message to humanity and angels, to angelic beings of the love and grace of God. Mystery. When God shows love and mercy on you, He's communicating in the heavenly realms to other dimensional beings. Can you please explain that to me? The church age is a message, not only to mankind, but a message to the heavenly realms. Angels look at what God has and is doing in your life, and they marvel at what God is doing to you. Angels marvel at what God is doing to you. Did you know that? 1 Peter 1, 10 and 12 says, as to this salvation, prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He was predicting the sufferings and the glories to follow. That's the mystery. How does Messiah suffer and yet live forever? It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things to which they have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from God, sent from heaven. Listen to this. Things to which angels long to look. Things to which angels long to look. The angels look at what Christ did for you on the cross, and they are marveling at what God has done for you. They marvel at what God has done for you. Gabriel, Michael, Satan, Beelzebub, 10,000 times 10,000, myriad upon myriad of heavenly beings look at what God has done for you and they marvel. They marvel at what God has done for you because He hasn't done it for them. The church is a witness to the heavenly realms of God's grace and love. And angelic beings marvel at what God has done for you. They look at the jar, they see, angels aren't adopted, they're not redeemed, they're not forgiven. God didn't die for their sins, but He did for you. They're amazed at this. The church age is a message not only to mankind, but a message to the heavenly realm as well. People, how's that for a mystery? Anyone like mysteries? Behold. Take notes this morning. Angels marvel at what Jesus has done for you. angels look at what God has done and is doing for you, and they marvel. Do you marvel? Should you? There's two prayers of Paul as a Jew prays for you Gentiles. He prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And here's his second prayer for you as he ponders this. And on this one, he kneels now. So can you picture Paul in a prison in Rome? As he's writing, he kneels in his prison and he starts praying for you, for Gentiles. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its names. He gets it. There's no favoritism with God. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. And I love it, in your inner being. When was the last time someone prayed for your inner being? Pray for your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that you are rooted and established in knowledge? No, wait. That you are rooted and established in wealth? No, wait. That you are rooted and established in guilt? Wait, no. That you are rooted and established in love. That you are rooted and established in love may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Messiah or Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? That you all would be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than you could even ask or dream or think, according to His power that's at work within us. To Him be glory in the church, the mystery of the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And he says, amen. And do I hear an amen? What is Paul's prayer for you? That somehow by God's grace, you can measure the immeasurable. That's his prayer for you. He prays that somehow you could measure the immeasurable. That you can come to know a love that surpasses understanding. The love of God for you ultimately is so much bigger than your brain can handle. But he prays that you can handle it. He prays that in all of this you may be filled up to the measure of the divine fullness that God has for you. He prays that you might appropriate the spiritual privileges of all of this as a child of God. Take notes. Last note. Paul prays for us. Paul's prayer for us is that we would somehow see, understand, and live out God's amazing provision for us in Christ. How's that for a prayer? He just falls on his knees and says, I pray that you Gentiles could somehow get a handle on the love of God. How wide and high and deep and long is God's love for you? Things which angels long to look. He says, I pray that you would somehow get a hold of this, but your brain still can't get it, but I pray that you do, that you would be rooted in this. See, in all this, angels look and say, no way. No way. And do you look and say, no way? Is God's mysteries being revealed to you in 2020? As you've been reading Ephesians, are you beginning, is the eyes of your heart being enlightened? Are you trying to get, are you trying to understand, are you getting a little bit of what God's trying to communicate to you? How valuable and precious and special you are in the eyes of heaven? Do you get it? Is the mystery starting to come to light a little bit about who you are and what you are and how you got to how you are and how you should see yourself and see the incredible blessing, the privilege of being called a child of God? Do you realize that you are blessed? And I don't care if you're living in a hut in Sudan or in Newport Beach, the blessing eternally is the same. You're blessed. Do you get it? Your identity? Who are you, child of God? Adopted, redeemed, forgiven, you're blessed. How did I get here? Well, you are a knucklehead. And you didn't deserve a blood from Jesus. It's not because you're so awesome that it's because He's awesome that you even get in this thing. By grace you've been saved but through faith. And that not of works. It's not because you worked your way. Man, if this is all true, how shall I see the rest of humanity? You see your brothers and sisters as one people. You're being all built into the spiritual house. And then Paul just muses. He says, you people were all a mystery. We couldn't believe what God was doing. We were shocked that the blood of Jesus, that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah is for the Gentiles too. Paul said, wow. No way. And then God begins giving me the calling to preach the love of God to Gentiles. And then this whole thing is designed by God not just to speak into the human realm, but to the heavenly realms as well. It's amazing. And Paul at the end of this thing just prays, man, I pray you people would get this, because this is really cool stuff. Absolutely stunning what happened to Kobe Bryant last Sunday. Heard he went to church. Kobe Bryant was on his spiritual journey, just as we all are. He got in an airplane with his daughter and seven other people, and they all died. People, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. The only people that are going to heaven are those that's been prepared for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The mystery is that God prepares Gentiles for heaven as well as Jews. Paul calls that the mystery. The mystery is that God prepares a place for all people that say yes to Jesus. That say yes to Jesus. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? The only person that prepares you is Christ. He's the one that prepares you for heaven. Hey people, today you leave here and you get T-boned out on Branca Parkway and you're gone. Are you ready? Life is fragile, life is precious, and life is uncertain. Are you prepared for eternity? The only person that prepares you is Christ. He dies on a cross to take away your shame and guilt and sin before a holy God. Only in Him are you prepared for heaven. Without Him, you're in trouble. Are you prepared? That Christ would live in you by faith. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe. Do you know how simple it is to be prepared for heaven? You look at what Jesus did on the cross. You understand that it's for you. Any liars in here? Is there anybody in here who's never lied your entire life? You liar. Any thieves in here? Has anybody in here never stole one thing your entire life? Ever? candy store, your sister, and really, you're a lion thief in here, aren't you? How do you, being a lion thief, plan on getting into heaven? If God's so good, He doesn't want to hang out with you. Christ takes away all your sins. He prepares you for eternity. Are you prepared? You should be. It's so simple. You say yes to Jesus. Jesus, I accept what you've done for me on the cross. Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And when you died on that cross, you died for me. You are a guilt offering of my guilt that I am a sinner. I fall short of God's glory. And I need help. I need to be prepared to go to heaven. Jesus, I accept the blood that you drip for me, a Gentile. Thank you, you've adopted me into the kingdom as the Jew. May your Spirit fall upon me. May I be born again today. May you wash away all my sins, past, present, and future. Write my name in heaven. Prepare a place for me when I die. I pray this by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how simple it is. Amen? Behold. We're going to close with the song, Behold. Behold means that God reveals something. Behold the Father's love. I want you to think about Ephesians 3. Think about how blessed you are. Behold the Father's love, the mystery He lavishes on us. And as you listen to this song, beautiful song with good theology, notice the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This week when you're in small groups and you're talking about Ephesians 3, see if you can notice the Trinity in Paul's prayer. As he prays to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the mystery. There's a lot of mysteries in the world, people. May the mystery of God's love not be a mystery to you. May you get it. May you stir it in. May you be rooted down deep. That's Paul's prayer for you. May you behold these truths and make them real. Let's stand.